What would your life look like if fear was not an option? Find out in the new series, Them, The Scare. It's an all-new installment of the horror anthology now streaming only on Prime Video. The series takes place in Los Angeles in the early 90s, with the city on the edge of complete chaos. Deborah Iorinde returns this season as LAPD homicide detective Dawn Reeve, who's been assigned to solve a new case that has left even the most hardened detectives shaken, to find the Southside Slayer. As she gives everything to uncover the truth, something horrific and supernatural begins to haunt her and her family. Them, The Scare features the legendary Pam Grier, Luke James, Wayne Knight, plus many more, and is sure to keep you guessing at every turn. Horror fans, get ready for your new obsession. This is something you do not want to miss. And remember, fear is not an option. Watch Them, The Scare on Prime Video, now streaming.
Hey everyone, no calls this week, although the lines are still open and we do check. I think people just like social media and email more these days. It's okay. We still love you. Anywho, first one comes in via social media. What are your Halloween costume plans this year? From at Wizard Beats with a 3, aka producer Chris on Twitter. Thanks, producer Chris. My costume has changed many, many times. Over the years, I think probably starting 3 or 4 years ago, I told my kids that they could pick what my costume was on a yearly basis. Mm-hmm. Because otherwise, it's just it's fine. Like, I'm more than happy to participate. I love Halloween. You know, mm-hmm. like, there's a massive setup in, like, Lowe's right now with, like, 8-foot-tall skeletons and, like, all this stuff I post on social media that I'd love to get. Kids are still a little young for it. And the neighborhood kids, we don't want to terrify them too much. And Costco has Christmas decorations already, so I'm upset at them. And I forgot what I was talking about. Oh, yeah, costumes.
Costume.
Basically, starting in November, not November 1st, my daughter starts telling us what Halloween costumes we're going to have for the next year. And it changes on almost a weekly basis. For the longest time, we were going to be, I think I was going to be Michael Myers. My wife was going to be, I think, Ghostface. My daughter was going to be Samara from The Ring, and my son was going to be Billy the Clown from Jigsaw. And I think that's changed many, many times. But the last time I was told that's what we were going to be, it will change several more times before Halloween.
Well, you got to be sure.
Is there specific Ghostface? Are you going to go for like the Matthew Lillard Scream 5 second clip with the flamethrower Ghostface? Aged Ghostface?
Wow, going deep cuts. I don't think in my neighborhood the deep cuts would really land.
The mask is still the same. It's just metallic.
That's true. I would probably just go with whatever Spirit Halloween's selling. If they start getting really deep and start showing like a Ghostface by the season, then then my decision gets a little bit more difficult. But for now, it's usually just, oh, Spirit Halloween's open. Let's go buy stuff.
Yeah.
How about you, Megan?
I am really bad at Halloween costumes. So I don't know. I don't really plan because that's the least on my mind. I want the snacks. Invite me to your Halloween party so I can have themed snacks and play with the animatronics and watch horror movies. And I don't really think about costumes very much. So probably whatever is going to be low maintenance. I could pretend like aspirations that are never going to come to pass, you know, like one day maybe I'll be Ready or Not, Grace.
Yeah,
you know, with the bride, maybe. I don't care if it's out of season. because, you know, the movie, that was probably like the costume in vogue when that came out. So I don't know. Something I just like, just toss blood on me and call it a day. That's the extent of my costume.
Just go outside wearing fur. Someone will do it to you.
Yeah. I wish I was better at the costuming. I am not. So yeah. Zita, you.
Kind of the same, except it's like I have all these great ideas, and then next thing I know, it's August, and then I get overwhelmed and scared, and my armpits sweaty, so it's just like, you know, and so I run to the nearest Spirit Halloween, and everybody's in there shopping, and I run out of there, but I end up buying stuff that, you know, for like my house.
I buy
stuff for my cat, you know?
Yeah, yes. See? Yeah, there you go. But, like, that's what happens.
I don't know. It's like, it's... And then even some of the costumes that I do have, because there's a lot of costumes that I have in storage where it's just like, I just thought it was cute.
Yeah.
So I just want to wear it for fun times. But kind of like what Megan said again, just, you might as well just buy a gallon of blood. Everybody should have that in their home, like in their home. And just splash that on yourself and be a zombie.
Yeah.
Or just be Carrie.
There you go. Something. Or just like, you know, get a I'm Knuff hoodie from Spirit and cover it in blood. It's like, I'm Deadkin. This year. I don't know.
I love it.
I will trust you on that one. I have not seen Barbie. Not because I'm taking a stand, just didn't.
I just throw that out there because I have a strong hunch that the costumes I'm going to see most this year is from Barbie and likely from Wednesday.
Yeah. A lot of Oppenheimer, a lot of 1940s.
Oh, totally. Yeah. So many Oppenheimer. I tell you what, I'm going to buy like a full size candy bar. If some child comes to my door this year as Oppenheimer, you get the Halloween prize because that is, that's impressive.
And a true horror movie.
Yeah.
All right. Second question also comes via social media from Instagram at HillaryC83. I love falling asleep to scary movies. What are some quieter horror movies that could lull you to sleep? Let's start with you, Zina.
Well, I don't know about quiet, you know, but, you know, we talked about this before. Night of the Demons, the first one, the second one, those two are my favorite. There's just something about them. I can go to sleep to them. But also, I'm going to throw in there, Girl School Screamers. That one is just such a vibe. It has great music, so it's just always a good time. And then also, too, Salem's Lot. Because it can be very chatty, so that could be helpful.
Yeah.
How about you, Megan?
I think the obvious is probably like Ty West, like The Innkeepers and The House of the Devil. Some very soothing atmosphere that doesn't get to the horror until a lot later. So I don't know if that's quiet enough.
I'm get like a rocking guitar riff in there.
Yeah, being a little guitar twang, some conversations over the piano. Yeah, I'm like Zena. I watch comfort watches type stuff like that I've seen a million times that I won't mind drifting off to sleep. Because even if it's a quiet movie, if I haven't seen it, I'm probably going to be watching and staying up to be like, what happens next? So... yeah, if you want actual quiet, I feel like early Ty West stuff is great. Otherwise, comfort watches.
Usually my go-to is like black and white stuff, actually. Yeah. Like
nice.
If you go like the original, like House on Haunted Hill, really anything with Vincent Price. I mean, his voice alone is just going to kind of help lull you at least a little bit. Or Birdemic. Birdemic will put me to sleep pretty fast.
All right, then.
Speaking of putting people to sleep, welcome to the Bloody Disgusting Podcast. Everyone, the podcast where we discuss all the disgusting things we love in the horror world. End up is discuss the disgusting. You know her as lead movie critic for Bloody Disgusting, horror movie fanatic and journalist Megan Navarro. Hey, Megan.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Do we put people to sleep? I hope not.
Well, hey, I'm saying that as a person who for many, many years has been told that them listening to my voice puts them to sleep. And I've learned to take it as a compliment. Yeah, it's like, at first I was like, thank you. And now I'm like, hey, thanks for listening. Appreciate it.
That means you just got to bust out the mobster voice for one of your stories.
Oh, yeah. That's what they've been clamoring for. That's
I want now. See, the ghost came up the alleyway.
just to mess with listeners, just once in a while, just to make their eyes pop open. Wait, what?
They're checking the channel.
And you know her from YouTube channel and website Real Queen of Horror and her infinite love for the genre and the head of Bloody Disgusting's TikTok, Xena Dixon. Hey, Xena.
That's me. Hello.
Hello. I'm John. If you're listening to this on a Wednesday when the episode drops, we hope your week's been filled with all the best kinds of horror. And if not, we're going to do a quick round the table for the movies, books, games, or anything else in horror that are making the three of us smile right now. Maybe it'll be things that'll make you smile too. So, Megan, what's been filling your heart this week?
A movie that I'm very curious for your take on, John. Popcorn Brights was in Miami and virtually over the last week or so. So one of the last things that I caught was Frogman. It is a found footage cryptid movie. Three friends, they're about to go their separate ways in life and decide to come together one last time to attempt to capture the legendary Frogman's existence on camera as part of their project there in Loveland, Ohio. But obviously, being that it's found footage horror, when they get too close, they'll be lucky if they make it out alive. It is very much like a by the numbers found footage movie, mercifully short, which I feel like most found footage are. That's their strength. And I don't even mean that as like a negative towards the movie. I just mean that so many movies these days are so long, like 2 to 3 hours long. So, you know, thank you found footage for keeping it brief. But it is very standard narrative setup wise, feels very much like a Willow Creek meets Blair Witch Project type setup. So that's standard, but it's the mythology, the cryptid mythology, that makes it interesting. And then especially when they get to the special effects, there is a lot of impressive special effects for this found footage movie. It gets pretty gross that I'm pretty sure Rotma had to come into play a little bit influentially. So yeah, it's one of those by the numbers, then it gets super interesting and really impressively done in that climax, especially that I think that alone is worth the price of admission. I am very curious what your take would be, being that this is your subgenre of choice. So yeah, there's no release date or distribution news that I'm aware of just yet, but obviously, well, when that changes, I will bring that up. So yeah, that's what I checked out. And then I also revisited Prison, which is not on streaming. I have it on Blu-ray. It was a Scream Factory release years ago. This was a 1987 movie, basically like a ghost prison horror movie where the spirit of a long dead prisoner returns for revenge, haunting the prison's new governor. This is Rennie Harlan's kind of first big American feature overseas, like in America. It stars Viggo Mortensen, and Kane Hodder is like their stunt coordinator. So he is kind of like the big climactic villain. You wouldn't see him because he's undead. It's just like kind of like a precursor to his Jason Voorhees era. It is really kind of slow as far as the ghost stuff goes, but every time a death happens, it's super gnarly and great. It just is a very interesting feature that it's like, it probably could have picked up the pacing a little bit. And I think this would have been way more well-known and well-loved and well-received, at the era. Now it's just kind of like a cult gem. I really like it. And I watched this because obviously it was Friday the 13th. Jeez Louise, I got Kane Hodder on the brain. But it was TCM weekend, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre game released on August 18th, which was the 50th anniversary of the fictional crawl, opening crawl on August 18th, 1973, Sally Hardesty and her friends, blah, blah, blah. So I had TCM on the brain, and Kane Hodder is, he does the mocap for Leatherface in the game, and Viggo Mortensen is in Texas Chainsaw Massacre 3. So I segued instead of doing Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I watched Prison instead because I like it. That's what I did.
That's all that matters. I do love that aspect of horror where you can be watching a very middle of the road to poor quality horror movie, and then you'll see the kills and be like, that was awesome.
Right? Right?
Do you see a bad movie with bad kills too?
Yes. Yeah. So like, if you took the kills out, this movie might be a big bore, but the kills are so drawn out and creative and gory, and yeah, it's worth it.
Nice. And I, speaking of mercifully short, watched 1987's Dolls, which was available not on Shudder, but AMC Plus, which was Xena's.
Oh, I guess they moved it.
Yeah, I checked it. Maybe it was just a regional thing. Like, but which is strange because AMC Plus is Shudder, so I don't understand why. It might also been I had an issue. Sometimes you ever search on Shudder and you put in the exact title and it doesn't show you the title. But if you put in like two letters, sometimes it will pop up. It's very strange.
That's so weird.
It happens to me a lot.
I don't think I've experienced it yet.
It's very weird. Anyway, but I found it on AMC Plus. The Hartwick's vast collection of dolls is fun to play with and nice to look at. But beneath the painted faces of their lifelike dolls lie murderous creatures with a vengeance for blood. All right, Xena, why this one?
Because it's magical and it's one of my favorite Stuart Gordon movies.
It's a very Tales from the Crypt feel. Like, absolutely. Like, this is not even a long episode of Tales from the Crypt. This is almost just an episode of Tales from the Crypt. This movie's like,
it's very short.
I think this movie's like 70 minutes. It's pretty short. And it's the boy, do it. Are adults just terrible? They're the worst, except for the one character whose name I'm forgetting, who I recognize from movies like The Negotiator, and I think he was in an episode of Grey's Anatomy. I don't know. He was the nice guy who liked the dolls. Can't remember his name.
Yeah.
Clyde or something? David? I don't know. Dylan? Daryl? I can keep saying names. None of them are going to be right, though.
Just no, keep saying names. Ralph. We'll see how many you got.
Yeah.
It's Ralph.
Ralph. There we go. I was nowhere
you
near
were
it.
Way
I
off. Wouldn't have fallen that. Dylan Ralph.
It would have taken me longer than watching the movie Dolls to get to Ralph. But Ralph. I don't know. You're right. It's a silly, cute, and still bloody and kind of upsetting horror movie. I mean, these are terrible adults. The worst level, like the overt physical abuse threats are pretty excessive.
She's terrible. Like,
even for the 80s, like, whoa, like guy, like raising his hand to his daughter. No, no, no. You'll just end up paying more child support. Oh, okay. Let's not backhand the child because of that. Like, oh, you're the worst. And then, you know, you're rooting for him to have horrible things happen to him. I was mostly impressed, though, by the long jump capabilities of one of the actresses. How instead of stepping over dolls, she makes a choice. And she launches herself further than I ever could have in a track and field meet.
It's so great.
It is. It's silly and cute and cringy and I don't know. I mean, it's dolls, right? It's a movie called Dolls about killer dolls. I don't think it is exactly what you think it's going to be.
It's and a fairy tale.
It is. And actually, that's a great way of putting it. I didn't even think of it like that. But now when you actually put it in that sort of a context, that totally makes sense. Like, it actually feels that way. I hadn't put that together, but yeah, you must be one of those movie reviewers.
I do have an essay on this movie in the Arrow Video box set.
Oh, do you? Oh, that's
awesome.
Yeah,
it's one of my favorites.
Yeah, Stuart Gordon, he said that he conceived it as a fairy tale, and it's like based on kind of like the vein of Hansel and Gretel.
Yeah, totally. That makes absolute sense, especially Hansel and Gretel.
Kind of makes me sad because we were supposed to have a sequel, but it was canceled. Stuart Gordon, he did want to have a sequel where Ralph is going to marry Judy's mom and they move to Boston and it was going to be so great. But yeah, it never even entered production. Yeah. And then, of course, they received some dolls from Gabriel. Well, Gabriel and Hillary as dolls.
Of course.
Dun, dun, dun. Yeah. I love this movie. I mean, it's a childhood favorite, but one, as an adult, I like how much torture he puts his wife through because the stepmother is played by Stuart Gordon's actual wife.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, so it's really funny to see her pop up in his horror movies and usually get some like brutal demise happen to her. So it's like, you know, they had a really healthy relationship that she's like, yeah, honey, I'll come on and I'll play a jerk and you can kill my character in really grotesque ways.
I love what he did. I love what he did to her in From Beyond. Like, yes. It's terrible.
Toys are loyal, and that's a fact.
Oh, also, what did you think about that part where she was like, well, is it worth something? Are they antiques? She called
it antiques. Yes.
Oh, these antiques. What? Are they worth something? Are they old? Antiques, yes.
So Bunty Bailey, like the Aha music video take on me, she was in that. And maybe
she was.
Oh. Yeah, she's in Spellcaster. I love her.
Oh, the 80s.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
And then I followed it up with 2022's Bones and All, which is available on Prime, a Megan pick. In a world that cannot abide who they truly are, a young woman who is learning how to survive on the margins of society and an intense disenfranchised drifter embark upon a road trip, searching for identity and chasing beauty in a perilous world. All right, Megan, why this one?
Because it's so good. That's why it's so good. And you needed it in your life. Just maybe not on an empty stomach.
Yes, yes. That's an accurate statement across the board. I didn't realize that Timothée Chalamet had this after Dune. Like, it seemed like such a weird departure to be like, all right, he's Paul Atreides, and now he's a cannibal drifter. And I was like, wait, what? Like, I figured that this would have been like before Dune or whatever, but even though he's only like 25 or 26 years old. Yeah, this movie's fantastic. It's so good across the board. Like, between the acting and the cinematography, but just like the tone, like the way every actor just brings kind of this sense of it's not dread. Like, I didn't feel dread watching it. I felt almost like a hopelessness.
There's almost like a coming of age melancholy to it.
Yeah, melancholy. That's it. That's a great word for it. But you know, the movie I couldn't get out of my head thinking about this was Near Dark.
A little bit road trippy, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it's this weird road trippy cannibal sort of thing, but also learning how to be this new thing and pursued. And like, it almost felt to me, I mean, and that's kind of like, I watched the trailer beforehand, and that's kind of like what jumped out at me first, was just kind of that feel. But just like, they don't shy away from just the visceral, just grotesqueness. Like, the number of times you see a person basically coated in blood and just being like, I'm good with this. And I think that's part of it too, is like, it's also the personification of their actions. Like, these are people doing horrible things and mostly okay with it, but not gleeful about it. At most, it's just kind of there's those brief moments of introspection of what have I become? What are we doing? Who are we doing this to, sort of thing. But generally, they're not monsters being hunted. You know, they're not really on the run. It's just kind of, it's just a wholly unique kind of road trip coming of age movie. I don't even know how somebody conceives this. And then how do you pitch this movie? Like, this is a crazy ass movie to try and sit down and pitch to an executive. Like, you got to get the right ears on this one.
I'm sure Suspiria helped. I mean, it's the same director, writer behind the Suspiria remake. So I'm sure that helped
that
out a lot.
Helps. I mean, I suppose it's like Gus Van Sant. Like, why would someone get a chance to do a shot-for-shot remake of Psycho? It's because he made Good Will Hunting, and they said, what do you want to do next?
Yeah, so you get Timothée Chalamet on board, and that'll help secure some finances right there, too. So, yeah.
Yeah, everyone. And I can't remember the name, but, like, one of the drifters is played by the same guy who plays, I think, is he the same guy who plays Lucky Luciano in Boardwalk Empire? He's one of the guys who drinks a 24-pack of beer with him.
Oh, you know who the other one is?
Who?
The one that's the human, David Gordon Green.
Oh, that's David Gordon Green? I saw his name in the credits, and I was like, which one was David Gordon Green?
He's the human that wants to be an eater.
Yeah, the fan or a groupie.
Yeah.
Yeah, this was a this was a very good, but it's a very brooding movie. Like, it's not like you're gonna, I can't think of a time where I was like, I'm happy watching this. Like, I wasn't watching it, but this isn't one where I'm like, I'm in a good mood. What should I turn on?
It's very not gonna heady be this. And existential, yeah.
Very, but it's also, it's pretty amazing. Just the boundaries that it plays with across the board. And it's just like, wow, they just went for this, like pretty much right out the gate. So yeah, no, this is fantastic. I think I'd heard of it, but I didn't know anything about it. So this was a very happy find for me.
Yay.
So, yay.
All right. Enough of my rambling. How about you, Zena?
So I checked out the thriller mystery series, Harlan Coben's Shelter. It's available on Amazon. It just premiered this past Friday. So the first three episodes are available. Mickey lives with a mother in rehab and a dead father, an annoying aunt, and a new school in New Jersey. When a creepy old woman tells him that his father isn't dead, Mickey thinks he's losing his mind. So this is based on one of Harlan Coben's novels from 2011. And so, you know, Harlan Coben is known for, like, you know, the crime fictions, you know, movies and stuff like that. And plus, a lot of his movies, there's like over 30 of his novels, they already been transferred to screen already, which is pretty awesome.
Good grief. Yeah. Busy.
So busy. But this is his first time working with Amazon. So woohoo. But yeah, so started watching this one. I don't remember seeing any advertisement for it. So I just, you know, checked it out over this weekend and I binged the heck out of it and had a really good time. So yeah, so basically we follow the story of this teen named Mickey Bolter, and yeah, like things are just going terrible for him. His father, like the sudden death of his father right in front of him. And that happens right in the beginning of the series. And I'm not gonna lie, it's pretty brutal, you know, very bloody. His mother's still alive, but she is very depressed. So she's in the hospital. And it's been 4 months since his father's death and since he's seen his mother. So he's in this whole new town with an aunt where, you know, it's not that they don't get along, but, you know, we all have those family members where it's just you don't really have that relationship with them. You know what I mean? So, on the first day of school, you would think, oh, there's going to be some teen drama. There is, but there's more crime and mystery. And yeah, he meets this other student named Ashley. She's new as well. They hit it off. They get along, you know, like, oh, yeah, they could be boos. But then she disappears and no one's taking it serious. Like at all, like, oh, she's fine. She just transferred. And it's just like, what? So he quickly finds himself just tangled up in this town mystery. Then he finds out that there was another kid that went missing and no one really thought anything about, like, it's just a thing that happens. And then he runs into the town's boogie woman who tells him that his father is still alive. And so, you know, that was very triggering for him. And so from there, it leads to all sorts of craziness. Like, I don't even want to tell you because that's like a spoiler. But yeah, I just love the vibe of this one. It has like a Scooby-Doo, Veronica Mars mystery going on. I will say this to the people who always say, oh, this sounds like Stranger Things. Well, you can go to hell, okay? Because this show is nothing like that. Like, and I know you guys heard that before. Every single time there's a teen series where there are kids and there's a dark secret, there may be some supernatural stuff going on. Ah, they're trying to be like Stranger Things. Hell, for being teens, let them live. I'm sorry. Lower it down.
She's got feels about this.
Yeah, I do. I really do. Seriously, it is very much, it reminded me of like an adult kind of teen version of Scooby-Doo with Veronica Mars. But then also there's a Goonies thing going on because some of the stuff that's going on in the town, people are acting like it doesn't exist. So, but yeah, so far I'm just having a really good time with it. And I'm sorry I told some people to go to hell. I didn't mean it. I'm sorry. I'm hungry.
You told the right people to go to hell. It's fine.
Okay. But not everything is Stranger Things, and Stranger Things is based off of so much other stuff. So, right. You know, who's on first?
It's so crazy because there was another show that I watched. Maybe it was it the Paper Girls, Paper Something Girls?
Oh, yeah.
And people were saying they're trying to be like, strange. What? Yeah, because for being little girls? Like, novel.
It's this really weird thing that happens now where people discover something for the first time. So they think no one else has seen it before and it never existed before.
Yeah.
It's like when Ozzy Osbourne and Post Malone had that song together, and all these Gen Zers came out saying that Ozzy Osbourne should thank Post Malone for giving him a shout out and like giving him a chance to, or some like popularity. Like, you'd never heard of Ozzy Osbourne.
Whoa.
Like, take a second to Google. It's right on your phone in your hand right now.
Oh my goodness.
It happens all the time. People discover things and believe they're the first to have ever seen or heard or read. It's really weird.
It is. But yeah, I just been hearing more. I'm sorry, but okay, I'm back now. I'll control my hunger. Then the next thing I checked out, I watched like the psychological cheesy slasher Pinocchio's Revenge from 1996 on DVD. A suburban defense lawyer mistakenly gives her troubled daughter Zoe a wooden puppet belonging to a deceased serial killer. Like, how did that happen, huh? Well, it does.
All the time.
That's ridiculous. The toy fills the void of friendship in Zoe's life, but Zoe begins acting increasingly strange and violent. So I used to watch this one a lot when I was a kid. And, you know, I always owned it on DVD for a while, and I just always just have a good time with it. It's the same director who he directed Night of the Demons, The Cellar. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Kevin S. Tenney. Yeah, so it's just, you know, one of my favorites, and I haven't watched it in a while, and I need a little bit of razzle-dazzle. But yeah, if you like 90s, you know, cheese, I think that you'll enjoy this one. It does have a cool storyline because, you know, this woman, she was working with this serial killer, and so they gave her this Pinocchio doll, but it just so happens that somehow there's some weird stuff going on with the doll. And the little girl, she's having some issues, I don't want to say like adjusting, but there's like a lot of changes that she was going on. Like, she's just like a little girl. Maybe she's like 11 or so. Anyway, yeah, if you like a little bit of cheese, I recommend this one. I will say this, though, because it's been a really good while since I watched it. The ending, and I won't spoil it, even though, you know, it's older, obviously. The ending, now when I think about it, it's kind of messed up. Like, when you really just sit back and think, like, okay, that was a child. But yeah, so if you're interested, you can check it out. I think that it's not streaming, but someone did upload it to YouTube, so I don't know how long it'll be up there. If you want to have a little sneak, or don't tell them I sent you, it wasn't me.
Don't comment with that, don't say that. All right, before we move on, what did we watch and how did we watch it?
I watched Frogman at Popcorn Frights and Prison on Blu-ray.
I watched 1987's Dolls on AMC Plus, and I watched Bones and All on Prime.
I checked out Harlan Coben's Shelter and also Pinocchio's Revenge on DVD.
All right. Do we have homework for me?
Yeah.
No readers?
Well, why not? Readers are fun.
Readers can be fun. It's just, generally speaking, I watch them during the day while I'm working, and it's really hard for me to do both.
Okay, you don't have to.
But I mean, you know, it's fine. We'll get back to it in like November. We can get back to it.
Okay.
Megan, you're up first.
Pretty sure you've seen this, but I just want to make sure you've seen Dead and Buried. Oh, the 1981.
No, I have not seen it.
Okay, then that's a blind spot we're filling for you. That's on Shudder.
Evidently, yeah. Oh, let's go for it. Yeah, fill my blind spots. That sounded weird.
Let's do it.
Do you want something older or new?
Oh, I want your favorite of the two.
Okay, have you seen, just to keep the dead thing going, have you seen Dead Heat?
It is a favorite.
Treat Williams is in it. Vincent Price makes an appearance.
I have never actually seen Dead Heat, but the number of times I have seen the movie art with him and Joe Piscopo is crazy that I've never actually clicked on it.
Okay.
This was in that weird time where Joe Piscopo was such a big deal, and then he was just gone.
Yeah.
All right, well, Dead Heat, what was it on?
It's on Tubi, it's on the Roku channel, it's on Plex, it's on Amazon, so you have your choice.
Is it on Effin' Awesome?
It's not on there. On Fawesome. I checked.
Effin' okay. Awesome.
I'll get
Effin' Awesome.
For now on Tubi. Or for now, not from now on Tubi, just for now. There's so many options.
What would your life look like if fear was not an option? Find out in the new series, Them, The Scare. It's an all-new installment of the horror anthology now streaming only on Prime Video. The series takes place in Los Angeles in the early 90s, with the city on the edge of complete chaos. Deborah Iorinde returns this season as LAPD homicide detective Don Reeve, who's been assigned to solve a new case that has left even the most hardened detectives shaken, to find the Southside Slayer. As she gives everything to uncover the truth, something horrific and supernatural begins to haunt her and her family. Them, The Scare features the legendary Pam Grier, Luke James, Wayne Knight, plus many more, and is sure to keep you guessing at every turn. Horror fans, get ready for your new obsession. This is something you do not want to miss. And remember, fear is not an option. Watch Them, The Scare on Prime Video, now streaming.
All right, enough about what we've been watching this week. It's time for Megan to bring us up to speed on the news and trending topics in the world of horror. So what's going on, Megan?
Get ready to meet Winston Goose. I'm just very obsessed with saying Winston Goose. It just rolls off the tongue. Winston Goose in the Toxic Avenger remake, which is going to have its world premiere at this year's Fantastic Fest in Austin next month from September 21st to 28th. No release date just yet, but I'm sure that will follow. A horrible toxic accident transforms downtrodden janitor Winston Goose into a new evolution of hero, the Toxic Avenger. That's what Fantastic Fest wrote about writer-director Macon Blair's fresh take on the trauma classic. The first image debuted last week teases the new Toxie, appropriately named Winston Goose. I don't know how many times I'm going to say that, but a lot. Played by Peter Dinklage from Game of Thrones. So he's going to be the new Toxic Avenger. There's no release date, obviously, but I'm sure that will follow soon enough. The 1984 original film revolved around a nerdy janitor, Melvin Ferd Junko III, and his unwitting transformation into the Toxic Sludge hero. It's pretty clear, based on this image and Macon Blair's involvement and Phil Tippett, the mastermind behind Mad God, his studio is doing this special effects. It's clear that it's not going to be the same trauma movie that we were familiar with. It also will have Elijah Wood, Kevin Bacon, Jacob Tremblay in the cast. Blair's take on the Toxic Avenger has been rated R for violence and gore, aiming to please hardcore fans of the wacky trauma franchise. He previously said the guiding principle was that the story could exist on its own terms, but in spirit would feel connected to the original. So it's kind of more of a spiritual remake. But I really, really like Macon Blair a lot. He previously directed I Don't Feel at Home at the in This World Anymore, which is not horror, but it's kind of genre-y. Yeah. It's good. But you obviously know him from Green Room, Blue Ruin, Murder Party. He's an incredible actor. He was really good. And I don't know if either of you watched the Swamp Thing TV show that was produced by James Wan. Yeah, I'm so sad that it was on that streaming service that went nowhere and bolded, because that show was really good. He was in it as a like minor character that was clearly set to become a much larger character, but it was very horror-ish. So there's some overlap there. I won't be too mad at it, but anyways, because of his involvement, I'm very excited for this remake. Otherwise, I'd be like, I don't know. Why does the Toxic Avenger need a remake? Because Macon Blair said so, and I'm in. So there's that. Last week also brought a first look at Monarch, Legacy of Monsters. It is the upcoming MonsterVerse/Godzilla series that's coming to Apple TV Plus. It's going to center on Godzilla and the other Titans. The highly anticipated sci-fi drama series will include 10 episodes, which Apple TV Plus promises they're coming soon. No release date just yet. But being that we're edging closer to October, I'm gonna guess it's probably a Halloween season type show. Following the thunderous battle between Godzilla and the Titans that leveled San Francisco and the shocking revelation that monsters are real, well, duh, Monarch Legacy of Monsters tracks two siblings following in their father's footsteps to uncover their family's connection to the secretive organization known as Monarch. Clues lead them down into a world of monsters and ultimately down a rabbit hole to Army Officer Lee Shaw, who is going to be played by Kurt Russell and Wyatt Russell. Taking place in the 50s and half a century later, so to untangle that, the father and son actors are playing the same character two separate points in time in the storyline. So one in the 1950s and another half century later where Monarch is threatened by what Shaw knows. The dramatic saga spanning three generations reveals buried secrets in the way that epic, earth-shattering events can reverberate through our lives. Dun, dun, dun. So, obviously, I know that Godzilla and the monsters are the draw, but I'm just so into a Godzilla show with Wyatt and Russ, like Wyatt and Kurt Russell together.
Yeah, I'm down for that for sure.
Yeah. And then maybe the thing we've all been waiting for, or maybe just me. I didn't think it was going to happen, even though I literally asked for it, and then 2 days later this happened, but due to the ongoing WGA and SAG strikes, wasn't clear if Chucky season 3 would be premiering this Halloween season, as has quickly become tradition over the past two seasons. But we got good news. As an official announcement video unveiled, they debuted it last week, but it's now official. Chucky season 3 is coming this Halloween Yay! Season. It's gonna premiere on October 4th. It's gonna be 9 p.m. October 4th on Sci-Fi in USA, and then season 3 episodes will be available the next day on Peacock. Season 3, three different streaming services. It's not enough that this doll cannot be contained to just one channel. It's two channels, and then Peacock the following day. Nice. So Peacock also has seasons 1 and 2 if you want to catch up. And why don't you? Because it's super fun. And if you watch the video, which you should, because it looks like a presidential press conference with the killer good guy taking questions from press to murderous results. So maybe Chucky might be setting his sights on DC. I don't know. But if you watch that video, there's a phone number, which I'll drop here to spare you if you don't want to watch. But it's 201. Or 2201, does that sound correct? 201-500-3347. So 201-500-3347. Mm-hmm. You can text Chucky for reminders and updates at your own risk. I did do this. And
me
it
too.
Is very, it is very, did you get, like, he's a feisty, he's a feisty little fellow. So, yeah, that's why I throw it out there, because it's fun. Anyways, yeah, so there you go.
I thought it was fun that Warner Brothers CEO David Zaslav was at the commencement for Boston University, and the students started chanting, "Pay your writers."
What?
I thought that was amazing. It's like, dude, come on. You're going to show up in public and tell these people who are about to graduate what to expect in the business world?
Yeah, they want to get paid.
Yeah, they want to get paid, man. Pay your writers and your actors. Just give them money.
Just livable wages. That's all we're asking.
Just livable wages. It's all they're asking. I know it's tough. All right, listeners, your turn. What would you do if Macon Blair asked you to? Why do monsters and kaijus hate San Francisco so much? Is it the cost of living?
Yes. You can
call or text us at 224-475-1040. Number's also in the show notes, or feel free to email us at bedisgustingpodcast@gmail.com. Delicious sourdough bread, though. Finally, Xena is going to make all our lives easier in the sea of horror movie options and clue us in on what's appearing soon that we should be watching. So, Xena, what should we be watching?
So, Screenbox is available. So, just saying that now, okay? As well,
you're
as
very Blaze. Toned down. You already yelled at him once.
I'm sorry. I feel really bad. I apologize for yelling again. I'm angry. I'm just hungry, okay?
That's why they tune in.
But watch subject on Screenbox or, eat a snack.
Thank you. Yeah. So first up on Friday the 25th, we have Killer Book Club. This will be available on Netflix. 8 horror-loving friends fight for their lives when a killer clown who seems to know their grim secrets they share begins to pick them off one by one. Then we also have That's a Wrap. This will be available on VOD. A mysterious villain from a new horror film appears at the cast wrap party and begins to stage their own kill scenes. One by one, the cast disappears until the true nature of the evening is revealed. And we also have The Dive. Two sisters go diving at a beautiful remote location. One of the sisters is struck by a rock, leaving her trapped 28 meters below. With dangerously low levels of oxygen and cold temperatures, it is up to the other sister. It was up to the sister to fight for her life. I'm stressed out by that movie, just reading the synopsis. Like, I recently rewatched Fall for some reason, and I just wanted to die. Oh. So it's just like, I don't know if I can handle this at the moment, you know? So just saying that. Fair. Then we have on Tuesday the 29th, this is an Argentinian supernatural horror, Don't Come Back Alive. This will be available on VOD and DVD. Camilla is a young member of an elite police unit during an operation in a dangerous area. She turns up in the middle of a ritual in which their members burn themselves to death. She suffers severe burns all over her body and goes into a coma. After her long recovery, you know, with her friend by her side, as well as her partner slash ex-boyfriend, they start to notice that Camilla is acting strange, distant, and emotionless. Like, clearly we know what's going on there. I'm gonna watch it anyway. And finally, we have The Boogeyman. So if you miss this one in theaters, you'll be able to check it out. This will be available on premium VOD. Still reeling from the tragic death of their mother, a teenage girl and her younger sister find themselves plagued by a sadistic presence in their house and struggles to get their grieving father to pay attention before it's too late.
And that's the Bloody Disgusting podcast for this week. Everyone, if you'd like to read more from Megan, you can check out her reviews at BloodyDisgusting.com and on Twitter at HauntedMeg. Xena can be found on her own website, RealQueenOfHorror.com, and the YouTube channel of the same name, or at Lovely Xena on Twitter. And you can hear me on my weekly horror narration podcast, Creepy. Don't forget to hit subscribe on your favorite podcast app, and feel free to follow us on Instagram and Twitter at BDisgustingPod, or drop us an email at BDisgustingPodcast@gmail.com. And don't forget to check out all things Bloody Disgusting's on TikTok at BDisgusting. So for this week, I'm John.
I'm Megan.
I'm Xena.
Grab some popcorn, cozy up on the couch, and watch something you love. Just make sure it's something bloody.